Good day, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. We're glad you've joined us today as we study the Word of God together. We're ready for Philippians chapter 2, and starting at verse 25 through 30, we will continue our study of Epaphroditus, another one of Paul's very faithful companions. And believe it or not, this is Bible Sunshine number 50. So God has been good to us. We're grateful that we have the Word of God. We're grateful that we can share Scripture and fellowship together in this way. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to study your Word together these 50 days. And we pray that the Word of God will encourage our hearts, will strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to be people of the book who know your word and love your word and live according to the precepts of Scripture. Thank you for this time. Bless it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Epaphroditus was a wonderful companion of Paul. We've been looking at his relationships, but I would like to give a couple words here about friendship. A friendship modeling a love for the Lord energizes and refreshes others. That was this kind of friendship that the Apostle Paul had with Epaphroditus. Let me say it again. A friendship modeling a love for the Lord energizes and refreshes others. So here was a wonderful friendship, indeed, modeling a love for the Lord. And isn't this a blessing? Think of Paul under house arrest in Rome, and from Philippi comes a messenger, Epaphroditus, to care for Paul and to help meet his needs, bringing him probably food and clothing, maybe money. In our most difficult circumstances, God often brings to us a friend who loves the Lord unselfishly. Isn't that a blessing? In our most difficult circumstances, God often brings to us a friend who loves the Lord unselfishly. I can think of some occasions in my life where God brought a friend at such a very important time. I remember an occasion where I was going through a fiery trial, and to me it was out of the blue, but no, it was the hand of God. I get a phone call from a friend, a brother that I hadn't heard from in some time, and he was so encouraging. He didn't know the fiery trial I was going through, but God knew, and God sent him at that particular time. So Epaphroditus was like that. And we've been looking at the relationships of this great friend of the Apostle Paul. His relationship with the Philippian church was characterized by willingness. He was a willing messenger, a servant representative. His relationship with the Apostle Paul was characterized by service as a brother in Christ, as a fellow worker, as a fellow soldier. And let's look at one more. Notice verse 25. He says here, I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. He was a public servant, as it were, Epaphroditus. The word that is used here is one who served in public office at his own expense. Go back to Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, and let's notice this word here, Romans 15, 16. Epaphroditus indeed gave of himself unselfishly, and Paul uses this particular word to describe him. Notice Romans 15, verse 16, Paul uses it about himself. He says, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul uses this word of himself here. I want to be a public servant, serving even at my own expense for the Gentiles to be saved, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So it is a great word that he uses here for Epaphras, one who serves others at public expense. It was used in ancient Athens of one who served in public office at his own expense, a servant of the people, military laborers, servants of a king, servants of a priest, servants of the temple. In Romans 15, a servant of God, one who ministered for the Lord. Epaphroditus was that special servant to the Apostle Paul. Now let's look at his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go to verse 30 to see this. Verse 30 of Philippians chapter 2. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. His relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was characterized by total surrender. He was willing to come near to death for the cause of Christ. There's a funny little farm story that I have enjoyed over the years, and I remember hearing it from a preacher at First Missionary Church in St. Petersburg, Florida, when I was a teenager. It went something like this. There was a rebellion on the farm among some of the animals, and they thought that they would escape one day. They were tired of the fences and of the chicken coop and of the confines of that little farm. And so the chicken and the pig, they conspired that they were going to leave one morning. Well, early one morning, they both awoke and they started down a path. They managed to get under the fence, out of the chicken coop, and on their way into the woods, away from the bondage of that farm. Well, as the morning wore on and the sun came up, they got hungry. And the pig began to say, you know, I'm really hungry. And the chicken said, well, yeah, so am I. And so the chicken said, I have an idea. Let's have ham and eggs. And the pig said, that's a great idea. And he took a couple more steps and he stopped right in his path. And he looked at the chicken and he said, now wait a minute. For you, that's a contribution, but for me, that's total sacrifice. I have always loved that little story. So I want to ask you, as I ask myself, are you making contributions for Christ, or have you given your life as a living sacrifice according to Romans 12, 1 and 2? Am I just dabbling at Christianity, or am I all in? My heart is all there. And Jesus indeed is Lord, and life is about Christ, and I want to please him and honor him. I want to serve him till the last breath that I take. Total sacrifice or just a contribution? Paul tells us in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that living sacrifice is pleasing to God. It's like an aroma, a sweet-smelling aroma ascending to heaven. He's pleased when his blood-bought children present themselves to him and say, Lord, take my life and use me for your honor and glory. Well, I believe that's the kind of spirit and attitude Epaphroditus had. His relationship with Jesus was characterized by total surrender. He valued the work of Christ, verse 30, because for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus' surrender to Jesus is seen in the way that he valued God's work and was willing to be used and spent in the work of God. He was willing to diligently serve the Lord. You know, travel is not particularly easy even in the modern world, but think of travel in the ancient world by foot, maybe sometimes by animal or by ship. Difficulties with robbers and all sorts of dangers all around. But Epaphroditus made the trip from Philippi to Rome. And here Paul is under house arrest. He was willing to do all of that. He valued the work of Christ. I so admire the example of the five young men who were martyrs for Jesus Christ in Ecuador, South America, amongst the Aka Indians. And Jim Elliot was one of those young men, and he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." It is a blessing to invest in the eternal work of Christ while we're here on this earth. So Epaphroditus was involved in the work of Christ, but notice what it says in verse 30. He came close to death. He was alongside death. Even to the point of death, he was involved in the work of Christ. He was pulled up as one ship alongside another, ready for battle. He was pulled up alongside death for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Broadside to danger he was, and he didn't care, he didn't mind. He was glad to do it, even to the endangerment of his life. It says here, not regarding his life. He was looking at Christ, looking at the work of Christ, not just self-protectionism. It is very easy to have the attitude, let me look out for myself. Let me protect all that belongs to me. Let me take care of me and guard me at all costs. Well, you know, this is the end of the chapter that's all about humility and serving others. And remember, our key example is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who went all the way to the cross for us. And now Paul is illustrating it by another example, Epaphroditus, who did not regard his life, and he says here, to supply what was lacking in your service to me. The whole church couldn't be there to minister to Paul. So Epaphroditus was sent, and he was supplying for Paul what the church could not do because it was not all present there. He was a representative of the church. He did that unselfishly, even to the endangerment of his life, and even though it brought him close to death. But God raised him up. He did not die. God brought him through. What a tremendous brother is Epaphroditus. What a faithful friend. And it's all rooted in this, his relationship with the Lord Jesus, characterized by total surrender. May God give us humble hearts to surrender everything to the Lord, all that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, that God would use us for his honor and glory. The world desperately needs Christians who present themselves as living sacrifices to the Lord Jesus. Well, let's go in prayer today for countries in need of intercession. Yemen, in the Middle East, number 7 on the persecution ranking. Very few Christians there, but let's pray for those who are there. Let's pray for missionaries to be sent there and for Albania in Europe. Both countries need the gospel, need Jesus, and let's pray for believers there. Father, thank you for loving us, caring for us. Thank you that you're on the throne. And Lord, we lift up to you today, Yemen. Lord, you know the few believers that are there. And we ask for strength and boldness for them. You know those Yemeni people who are in other countries who know you. We pray, Lord, that somehow they would be able to have an influence back on the homeland, on relatives and neighbors back in their home country. And we pray that the Church of Jesus Christ will multiply. Lord, open up the country for gospel workers, for teachers to be able to be sent there. We pray, Lord, that the Word of God will have free course. Multiply the scriptures there. And we pray, Lord, for Albania. Lord, we pray that the Word of God will overcome the past histories of communism and evil ideologies. We pray, dear Father, that Christians there will be strengthened, will multiply, that missionaries will be sent there, and those who are already there will be encouraged in the Lord. Multiply efforts to reach children and youth through camps. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on these two countries for Christians to be sent and to be multiplied there. And Lord, we ask again for your perfect timing for the end of the COVID virus. But Lord, we ask for revival. We ask for the salvation of souls. We ask that public leaders will turn to Christ in humility, calling on the name of the Lord to be saved, calling on the name of the Lord for wisdom. Encourage your people. Encourage those who've lost loved ones. Encourage those, Lord, who are sick, and raise them up, we pray. Bless your word this weekend in powerful ways as it goes forth all over the world. We ask in Jesus' powerful, wonderful, living name. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you so much for joining us on Bible Sunshine. Share it with a friend, and Lord willing, we will see you on Monday at 12 o'clock. And may God's light shine upon you today. God bless you.